Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Thanks for staying with us here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, during 2019, threat actors continually enhanced their cyber weapons, adopted new methods, and adapted their attacks to emerging technologies and platforms. As such, it's no surprise that the World Economic Forum has once again placed cyber attacks and data theft in its top 10 global risk survey for 2020. The events of the past 12 months highlighted that no organization, no matter how large or small, is immune from a devastating cyber attack. Here's hoping 2020 will be better, or will it? Joining us today is Gary Gardner, Head of Security Engineering, Asia Pacific and Japan of Checkpoint Software Technologies. Gary, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So a wee bit of a review, if you will, of the major cyber incidents in 2019, which stood out.
Yeah, so what we saw in 2019 was pretty much follow-on from 2018. So large data breaches across multiple industries and multiple organizations. One of the key that springs to mind is the Facebook hack, where it wasn't actually Facebook that was hacked themselves. It was a third party, a vendor that they used that had some personal information on their users, but it was actually less secure than Facebook itself. So we are seeing a trend of attacks towards third party providers or trusted providers for larger organizations.
And these people would be maybe a smaller entity, right?
Yeah, that would be correct to say that, yes. So they're a smaller entity, but they're used as a vendor of these larger organizations. And we are seeing that a lot of larger organizations now are looking to have more robust security controls in place with these third parties.
I ask only because I think smaller entities tend to think, oh, you know, I'm small, I'm relatively safe, no one wants the stuff I have. But that's changing, isn't it? Well, that's not the case, is it?
Yeah, for sure. We are seeing the trend to attacking these third parties, these vendors, to try and get influence or try and get access to the larger organizations.
Talk to us more then, Gary, about the global cyber threat landscape. How else is it changing?
We are seeing a change predominantly towards attacking cloud-based providers and software. So when we talk about things like the Office 365 platform or any of the large cloud providers such as Amazon or Microsoft, we are seeing that because a lot of organizations are moving to these cloud platforms, unfortunately, they still think that the vendor themselves, the provider, is actually going to provide a lot of security, and that's not the case. They still have to approach a cloud platform as they would do as to securing their own network.
So let's say we take the example you cited earlier with the Facebook and their third-party vendors. Everyone now has to secure their stuff, putting it simply. Won't that sort of hamper the flow of data, if you will?
It shouldn't do if you're doing it correctly.
Mm.
There's a lot of technology out there that allows for the secure transfer, the secure storage, and the secure use of data. What we see is that there can be instances where it just comes down to human error. There's a misconfiguration on, say, for example, the back-end database, or there's a username and password that may be weak, which gives access to that information. And that's all the attacker needs. That's the way they get in, and once they're in, they use that to their advantage.
So it's Joe Plummer's fault again.
Unfortunately,
my 123456 password is to blame.
Exactly, for sure, yeah. So we see that more often than not.
Oh, no. So that will still be of concern, even after we've talked about for years, actually, keeping the passwords safe or strong or complicated. Don't use the same one for all your accounts, etc. People are still doing that.
Yes, they are.
Oh,
it's a sad thing to say, but yes, they are. But what we are also seeing is that if you look at cloud platforms, they are designed to be easy to use and consume. And a lot of people don't really understand the fundamentals when they're creating a database that stores information pertinent to their organization in a cloud-based environment. They just think that it's automatically going to be secured, and that's not the case.
We're speaking with Gary Gardner, Head of Security Engineering, Asia Pacific and Japan of Checkpoint Software Technologies, all about the World Economic Forum once again placing cyber attacks and data theft in its top 10 global risk survey for 2020. So sadly, we'll still see these kinds of things happening, the incidents that you mentioned earlier, coming up in 2020, more of them?
Yeah, we're already starting to see these things happening already.
So then what? Best practices, I guess, for organizations to be cyber safe. Same advice.
It is. There's been a little bit of a shift in the way that we've been talking about it. So zero trust is now a buzzword in the industry, mm-hmm. but it is a fundamental way that we should be looking at our networks. It involves looking at segmentation, so understanding who needs access to what data at what time and putting in the controls in place. The balancing act to that is to make it as user-friendly as possible. So the analogy I used at a recent conference was, if you're going through an airport, you actually go through a very good exercise in zero trust. You can't check in unless you have a valid ticket. You have to go through several security controls, which talk about segmentation, before you actually get on the plane. And that is a perfect example in real life of how zero trust should work. You only get access to certain areas once you have been verified that you should be doing that. And it's exactly the same approach that we should be taking to our networks.
Might that be a bit time-consuming, though? Imagine wanting to get my data and I have to go through so many checks, so to speak. That's why we're told to go to the airport, I don't know, 2 hours before the flight or something?
Yeah, look, it's in a network, what we're looking at is trusting the device and the user and the combination of those two. So if I know that you're logging on from your phone and you have logged on and authenticated appropriately, I will give you access to certain levels of information. If you were logging on from an untrusted device, then you have less trust as far as I'm concerned on the network. Therefore, you would have less access. So it's about trusting not just the user, but the device they're connecting from. And we see this a lot when we talk about Office 365, when we have people who have their credentials stolen and people are logging on. Why would someone who's a user in Singapore be logging on from Europe or Africa, for example? So we have technology now that can actually detect that and block that from happening.
So would the recommendations you reckon on cyber protection strategies be different for large and small organizations?
No, they shouldn't be. It should be exactly the same. What it does come down to is the amount of skills that an organization has to implement those. But we have in the industry lots of trusted organizations that can implement that for smaller organizations. So we do see security as a service being positioned to smaller organizations and to some larger ones, in fact. But again, there should be no distinction around the size of the organization because the data that's there is of equal importance to a small or large organization.
It's just maybe the volume we're talking about.
Yeah, but you do see some small organizations that have access to large volumes of data for large organizations.
Mm-mm. How hopeful, though, Gary, are you that organizations will finally listen, especially smaller entities?
Well, look, I'm an optimist. I like to think you would listen. Being in this industry for 22 years, I guess I have to be an optimist that people will listen. So, no, I honestly do believe that we are making a small difference, and it's incremental. But it's about educating not just the security administrators or the management inside these organizations, but continually educating the end user, because they are the weakest link in all of this.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about sending employees for cybersecurity education. It doesn't seem to be working, I've got to say. What would you suggest in order for organizations to light that fire under the behind of employees to realize how important this is?
Yeah, so the way that Checkpoint has looked at this is to look at it from a perspective of in-time, real-time training. For example, if I was to send out an email that has personal identifiable information in it, our systems come back and ask me, did I really want to do that, and to provide a business justification for doing it. So there are ways that we can do this, but it has to be in line with what actions are being taken by the user themselves. Is it going to be 100% perfect? No, the bad guys are always going to try and find a way around it, but it's up to us as security companies to make sure that does not happen.
Still that eternal optimist, Gary.
Yeah.
Gary Gardner, Head of Security Engineering, Asia Pacific and Japan of Checkpoint Software Technologies. Gary, it's been a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.